Lord, we thank you for Monica. Thank you for her life following you, Lord. Thank you for her devotion to you. And I pray, Lord, that as she has been preparing over the last few weeks, Lord, and what you've been putting on our heart, Lord, I pray that you would help her to communicate all that we need to hear today. I pray that she might be a vessel to be a blessing to your church. Holy Spirit, would you be working in her? Let her glorify you with every word that comes out of her mouth. Bless her, we pray. Amen.
Okay, my title for the talk today is Pray About Everything. So that's quite broad. I hope you've got plenty of time. In the last few weeks, we've been learning about prayer and looking at some of the prayers of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah is a book which is about trusting God when today is difficult, and tomorrow, if tomorrow is uncertain, trusting God. Nehemiah was a Jew living in Babylon as an exile. Many of the Jews at this point had returned to their land, but Nehemiah was cupbearer to the king Artaxerxes, a high position, a dangerous one. His brother Hanani had come to visit with news about Jerusalem. It's not good, he said. It's not good. The walls are broken down, the gates are burnt, and the people are discouraged. Nehemiah heard this, and he wept. The land was very important to the Jewish people. It was the land God had given them. And Jerusalem was very important. That was where the temple was, where they worshipped and where God met them. So for some days, several days, Nehemiah mourned and fasted and prayed. Some of his prayer is recorded in chapter 1 of the book of Nehemiah. And the final part of that prayer is here in verse 11. He said this, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant. Help. And to the prayers of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. So Nehemiah was asking for success when he went to see the king. He wanted something from the king. He wanted to be able to go back and see what was going on in his land. This prayer was not answered straight away. Nehemiah had to wait. But one day, 4 months later, 4 months after he had prayed, he had the opportunity. He went to the king as usual with the cup of wine. And the king said, what is it that you want? And Nehemiah prayed. And on this time, it wasn't several days or several hours or several minutes, but a very quick prayer because the king was waiting for an answer. So he prayed, I imagine what I just did. God help me. And God did. God did. We read in the book of Philippians, we read in chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7, we read, don't worry about anything, but pray. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. I'll read this. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he has done, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry. Nehemiah was worried, but he knew what to do with his worry. What is it that you're worried about? What is it that concerns you? What is it that occupies your mind? Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says in Matthew 6, this is a bit of a summary, so if you want the real thing, it's Matthew 6 from 25. But this is my version, forgive me. Jesus said, don't worry about your life, about your food or drink. Don't worry about your body or your clothes. Look at the birds. They don't plant crops. They don't harvest them, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And what about the lilies? They don't get out their sewing machines. They don't go to Primark. But your heavenly Father clothes them. The world runs after these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Oh, and by the way, don't worry about tomorrow. That's quite a big one, isn't it, tomorrow? Tomorrow, Monday, next week, next month, next year, future. Don't worry about tomorrow. God knows what you need. God loves you. So, we have a song that we sing sometimes in the children's group that's based on a verse in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. The verse says, cast all your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. And because it's a children's song, we have actions to go with it. Now, actions are fun for the kids and they're quite fun for the children's leaders as well. But they can be symbolic acts. And this one is we're doing physically what you are wanting to do inside. So the actions go like this. You've got a backpack on your back. This is your burdens, okay? So you cast your burdens onto Jesus because he cares for you. He cares for you. So we don't leave our burdens at the back door where you can pick them up again or by the bin. Or you might put them out at some point, but we cast them on to Jesus. The bin doesn't care, the back door doesn't care, but Jesus cares about you and me and us. So instead of worrying, what should we do? Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. So this is pray about everything, comes in the context of worries. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Tell God what you need. Nehemiah did this. He told God what he needed, and God answered him. Yes, God does know what we need before we ask, but asking demonstrates our trust in him rather than our trust in ourselves. Worry is something which is self-focused. Self-focused. It means, what am I going to do about this? How will I manage that? If this happens, how will I? It's self-focused. Prayer is God-focused. The situation is the same, but I'm looking and I'm saying, I'm in this situation, God, but I'm calling on you. I'm calling on you. It's God-focused. So we pray about everything. The things that concern us. Pray about your day, about the meeting, about your colleagues, about your schedule. Pray about your work and your leisure. Pray about your friends and your family, your neighbours. Pray about your health. Pray about your hopes and dreams. Pray about your success and your joys. Pray about your disappointments and your failures. Pray about your pain and your loss. Pray about everything. That was quite a list, but there's more. If you have something else, everything is everything. Everything. The Book of Psalms is a beautiful book, a book of prayers, book of prayers to God. Some of these are very beautiful. Some of them are a great praise to God. Praise God from the heavens. Praise God from the earth. Let the whole earth praise him. Some of them are very raw and painful. How long, God, is this going to go on? What's happening? I don't get it. Look at what the enemy's doing without cause. May the angel of the Lord sweep them away like chaff. They're raw prayers of pain and sorrow. Everything is okay. If it's addressed to God. If we have that wandering around in ourselves, that's not helpful. But to address it to God, that's what we need to do. Prayer is an invitation. It's not so much a command, this. It's an invitation to come. It's a permission to pray about anything. God can change situations and he can turn things around. And while we're waiting, he can also change our hearts. He can give us strength for today and hope for tomorrow. I've included here a little word of warning. Some people think that if they pray long enough or hard enough, they can have anything they want. Now, there are some things that are deep longings in us, maybe cravings, that sometimes can get in the way of our relationship with God. They may threaten to take a high place where they should not. The Israelites in the desert had something like this. The Israelites, you know, had been in Egypt. They'd been slaves in Egypt. God had rescued them. God had taken them through the Red Sea. God had provided for them food, fresh water. But they got to a point where they're a bit fed up, and they started looking back to Egypt, and they said to themselves, "Oh, do you remember? We used to have melon. Do you remember there were cucumber and garlic and meat? Oh, meat! I would give anything for meat." And that craving became so strong that the Bible says they were wailing. They were wailing because they wanted meat that they didn't have. And in the end, God gave them meat. He gave them lots of meat. And I imagine it was something like this. Day one, meat, quail, there is a God in heaven. Day two, oh, meat again, wonderful, God loves us. Day three, oh, quail again. Day four, quail again. Day five, quail. Because, you know, although they longed for this, although it promised much, these things deliver little. Because those things don't really satisfy, not the way God does. Thank you, Lord, that you can change what we love. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. The answers to our prayers may not come straight away. And we thank him because it reminds us of who God is and what he has done. Nehemiah did this. In his prayers, he thanked God for the things that he'd done for him and for his people. And he reminded himself that God was good. So we say thank you. Thank you, God, that when I was in a bad situation and I could not find the way out, thank you that you rescued me. Lord, if I'm in that situation again, you will do the same thing because you're the same God. Lord, I want to thank you that when I was ill, you healed me. I know you're a God who heals. I trust you for me, for my family, for my friends. You're a God who heals. When I was in a situation where I was confused and upset and I didn't know what was happening and I didn't like it, I want to thank you because you knew what was going to happen. You worked for my good, even though I didn't recognize it right away. Thank you that if I'm in that place again, you are the same God and you will act in the same way. We praise him for what he has done. In James chapter 5, there are a series of verses which can be summarized like this. Sing, pray, pray. And the slightly longer version, if you're in trouble, pray. If you are happy, sing praise. That's a kind of prayer. If you are sick, get the elders to pray. Confess your sins to one another and pray that you may be healed. And it ends like this. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Have you ever read that verse or looked at it and thought, do I count? Do I qualify as a righteous person? Now, I don't think I'm very good at prayer. I'm agreeing with Nick, who said the same thing last week, and with the Bible, which says we do not know how to pray as we ought. We do not know what to pray for. It's Romans 8. The disciples also weren't very good at praying. They'd asked Jesus to teach them, and he did. But when it came to it, before Jesus' death, when he asked them to pray, they fell asleep. Would I have been any better? I don't think so. This is me. I'm a disciple. Suspend your disbelief. It has been a wonderful time with Jesus. We've been here with him 3 years. It's been amazing. We've walked with him. He's done miracles. We've had an exciting time, a confusing time, a strange time, things we didn't understand, but he's always been there. It's been awesome. And this week has been so busy. We went into Jerusalem. Jesus was sitting on the donkey, and everybody was crying and calling out and saying, wow, Jesus is coming. And we thought this was going to be the time, that this everything would be all right. Everyone recognized who he was. And he went to the temple, and we had this just busy week, toing and froing, and we had the Passover meal, and he started to talk about his death again. And we don't like it when he does that. We don't understand. And Peter challenged him once, you know, on that, and that didn't go down well. So we don't say much. And then we went out to the Mount of Olives, to the garden where we'd been before. And Jesus said, I'm going to go over here to pray. I want you to stay here and pray. And I looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, we've had a busy day. We're very tired and it's late. And I don't function well this time of night. Can't we do it in the morning? And he looked at me. And he got down to pray, and we got down to pray, and we fell asleep. Because we didn't realize that these hours were going to be so important for Jesus. We didn't realize that our lives were going to change from this point on. We didn't realize that the world would be a different place after this weekend. So we fell asleep. So do I qualify? Obviously not. But, there is one who does. There is one who does qualify as a righteous person, and this is Jesus. Jesus, 1 John chapter 2, is described as the righteous one. He is the righteous one, the only one. And he speaks and pleads with God on our behalf. He is the God-man, the one who holds God's hand and my hand at the same time. He is our great prayer, the one who prays for us. We can't do it, but he can, and he does, and he has. That same verse about us not being able to pray also says the Spirit helps in our weakness, because we don't know how to pray as we ought, but he prays for us. He prays for our benefit and on our behalf. So look at him. Look at him, the one who died, the one who was raised, the one who is seated at the right hand of God. What's he doing seated at the right hand of God? He's praying. He's praying for us. Look at him in the garden. He said to God, he prayed, let this cup of suffering pass from me. And that prayer was not answered. He had to drink the cup of suffering. Jesus was the only one who deserved to have his prayers answered. And he took our place. He took our place so that we could have our prayers answered. Look at him. He endured separation on the cross so that we wouldn't have to be separated from God. He was forsaken. God forsaken. A God forsaken place is a place that God has left. So on the cross, God left Jesus so that we wouldn't have to be left, so that we could be accepted and loved. When Jesus was carrying our sins, the Father turned his face away. So that when we pray, the Father can turn his face towards us. Isn't he amazing? So this is not about me trying harder, praying better. It's about my little bit of faith in him, the righteous one. The righteous one who prays for us. And let's look at him. If we belong to Jesus, if we have decided to follow him, we are new creations. We live in him, and he lives in us, and he gives us his righteousness, his goodness. So do I count as a righteous person? Yes, I do. If I'm in Jesus, I do. Praise God. In me, no. But in him, yes. In him, yes. So, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard you, your hearts and minds, as you live in Christ Jesus. Can we stand, please? Musicians, if you want to come, that would be good. We're going to pray. Lord, thank you that you did it all at the cross. Thank you for what you suffered for us. Thank you that you took our place. Thank you that because of what you've done, our prayers can be heard and answered. What is it that you're worrying about? What concerns you? What occupies your mind? Bring that to Jesus now. Pray about that thing. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. Expect to experience his peace. If you want to pray with somebody, pray with the person next to you. Come and pray with one of the elders if you'd like to do that. If there are things that concern you, let's pray about them and give them to Jesus today.
As Monica's just beautifully outlined, that we don't need to worry about these things. But it's not because they're not things that we might naturally worry about. We don't need to worry about them because of Jesus, because we are found in him. And that there might be many things that on a worldly sense and on a day-to-day when you get home will cause you stresses and worries. But actually because of Jesus, we know we stand righteous in him. Not because of anything we've done, but because of him. And actually maybe we could get into like little groups or huddles of like 3 and 4. If there's things you're particularly worried about, then it'd be great to receive prayer. But at the same time, just to be encouraging one another. Man, we've been saved by grace. That actually when things come up, we do not need to worry because of Jesus. Because he has given himself for us. Actually, that's a really beautiful thing. So yeah, this is like the formal end to the service. Thank you so much, Monica. But yeah, feel free to move the chairs around a bit so you're sort of comfortable. But let's get into little groups of 3 or 4 and just be praying, encouraging one another, reminding ourselves of the goodness that we have in Jesus.